Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome to this edition of the Gardening Show. And if you'd like to join our conversation, here's the phone number, 1-800-859-0957. And if you have a question during the middle of the week or sometime I'm not on the air, thegardeningshow.com. And Steve in Washington, Carlos in Carlton, Larry in Hamtramck, Doris in Chesterfield, and Phil in Marysville. I hope you're listening because I'm going to get to your emails today, but I really would like to talk to you personally. 1-800-859-0957. Coming up, though, is an opportunity. This is fun, and if you've ever been to Gardening Day at MSU, it's coming up on Saturday, August the 2nd. There are still spaces available. However, I noticed this morning when I was looking, some of the workshops and stuff are already closed out. So if you're thinking about it, get in there because it's going to be on. It's great. Amy Stewart is going to be, if you've ever read her stuff, she's funny, authoritative, opinionated, and just a great, I've never heard her speak, but I've read her books, and they are wonderful. So that's an all-day program, August the 2nd, which is a Saturday, which is new this year. And I will put the links up to on my website, thegardeningshow.com. And but if you really want to sign up, here's the URL. But I think just Google it, Garden Day at MSU. It's hrt.msu.edu/garden/day/2014. That isn't right. Anyhow, check it up. Google it until I get it up on my website. Nicole will have it up by Wednesday. That is Gardening Day, August the 2nd. If you've never gone, it is fascinating. Great workshops, all kinds of good stuff going on. Great value for the money. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Joe in Southfield. Joe, welcome to the Gardening Show. Joe, are you there? There we go.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in a cell phone.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. What's going on?
I need to know what will grow underneath a pine tree.
Basically nothing.
The
point is the pines especially are so thick that they just, all the water runs out away, so it's very dry under there and very dark. And I can't think of anything except maybe some plastic plants that you could put under there, and I certainly would never suggest that. Why do you have to grow something under a pine tree?
Well, what I did is I cut the first 2 foot of branches off the bottom because it was growing too wild.
Okay.
And what's left over, I can see underneath it now, and it does get sunlight, and there's not that much of a needle underneath it.
Check back in three or four, go to my website, thegardeningshow.com, and I think it's 3 or 4 shows ago. Nicole puts it, it's very easy if you've never navigated it. You can go back and look at the information from previous shows and previous recommendations. There is a listing in there of dry and shady areas. And if it isn't there, I will put it on. So dry and shady.
What's the website?
Thegardeningshow.com.
With a Z, T-H-E?
Yeah, T-H-E, gardeningshow.com, the whole thing. I'll put it up. Let me do it this way. I did it before. I'll do it again. We'll just bring that up. And you don't have a whole lot of choices, to be very honest with you, Joe. But take a look.
What about something like a hostas won't grow underneath
there? They will, but it depends on how much shade they are. And if you're willing to water under there, they'll do okay. The thing about it is that's a very dry area because even if you took those limbs, lower limbs off, if you notice a pine, the branches and everything slope out. And the water runs out that way. It's very dry under a pine tree. And that's why it makes it tough to grow under there. But take a look.
All right. Thanks for the information.
My pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too. 1-800-859-0957. Speaking of pines, let's go to Tim in Brighton. Tim, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you. I have a pine tree about 5 feet tall.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old, and all the underside of the pine needles are turning brown and just falling off.
Okay. It is a pine. It's not a spruce.
Right.
All right. There is a whole group of what are called needle cast diseases, and that's possible one of them. And one of the things, if you take a look at the needles that have fallen off with a hand lens, you may see little black dots on them. and that's a needle cast. There's nothing you can do about it now. The point being is that those spray applications have to be done in the spring. The second possibility is, lower branches on pines just die off because they get shaded out. And that's always a possibility. So you just expect that you're going to lose the first or second whorl just because of the shading above, and the needles drop and all that. But it sounds more like a needle cast. You're in Brighton. Take some samples up to the MSU Extension office there in Livingston County, or give them a call and ask when they're open and how to submit samples. And you probably need somebody to take a look at it before, but it sounds like a needle cast.
All righty, thank you.
Okay. They are controllable, by the way. It's just you've got to time the sprays right. 1-800-859-0957. Or thegardeningshow.com. And as I said, you'll have all kinds of information on there. This week I'm going to put some information on, we've got a relatively new bug out there that's really causing havoc for those of us who grow raspberries and blackberries and blueberries and all those kind of things, especially, but they'll get into peaches and you name it. It's called a spotted ring Drosophila, which means fruit fly, and it's a pain. And it's spreading across the state. And there hasn't been much information out on how to control it for homeowners. The orchardists, the fruit growers have got a lot of information on it. But so I'll put that on the website. We got a disease of Bradford pear that's showing up that needs some attention. And all kinds of more information. But, let's talk now. Rather than wait until the end of the middle of the week. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. And several people have emailed me. I cannot answer emails directly. I will try to do it as soon as possible on the air. It's impossible to reply. However, Carlos in Carlton emailed me about a problem with his birch tree, and we'll talk about that. But the bottom line is what got me, and this is what Carlos is a mail carrier. He's the person that delivers the mail, and he says he's even passed on some tips to my customers. Carlos, let me compliment you and all the other men and women out there delivering mail. You are a service that is not appreciated, in my opinion, because not only do you deliver the mail, and for many of us, you are a link with the outside world. Many times people who are ill, the first person that knows is the mail carrier. People, you're the eyes walking the neighborhood, and I can't thank you enough for that. So all of us who complain sometimes about, I've got to pay another cent for a postage stamp, remember Carlos and all the other people out there that are delivering the mail and keeping an eye on us. And maybe we ought to reconsider that. But so, Carlos, my congratulations and sincere appreciation. I'll get to your question eventually. The question was, he has some birch showing some symptoms, limb dieback. And, of course, the first thing you think about is bronze birch borer. And, Carlos, I kind of think that's still what's going on there. And he has some questions about, he lives down in Carlton, and Monroe County doesn't have an extension horticulturist there. MSU Extension doesn't have that person. So how do I contact? Who do I call? How do I send samples in? Well, there are ways. Just remind people that there is a garden expert hotline. If you have a county that isn't able to provide a local horticulturist or a local master gardener to answer questions, I will put on my website, thegardeningshow.com, the garden expert hotline. You will be switched to another county, and the people there will be glad to talk to you. I also put in information, Carlos, you were asking about getting soil samples. How do you do that? I'll put the information on that on my website. How to contact a diagnostic lab if you really want to directly, and that's fine. They do a great job. And birch borer information. All of that is available, even though, as unfortunately as you are there in Monroe, Jenny Stanger retired, and they couldn't replace her. And by the way, if any of you know Jenny, there was no way to replace her. There would have been another person in there, but they wouldn't replace Jenny. Anyhow, Carlos, again, thank you so much, and you and your all the other people who work for the Postal Service. Take a look at that information, and unfortunately, you ask about some other questions and stuff. I think you better take a look, close look at the bronze birch bark information. But we'll have that on the gardeningshow.com website by Wednesday. Nicole does a great job of getting that updated. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Laura in Northville. Laura, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. Ditto on that mail carrier. We have a great mail carrier.
Oh, I have a wonderful woman. And, you know, you don't think about it, but many times you talk to any – I live in a rural area. You talk to my local sheriff's deputy. They're the Postal Service is their eyes out there because they're on every road and they're walking every street.
Yep.
They're great people and we need to support them. But anyhow, what did you have to ask?
Well,
about?
I have a perennial that, in layman's terms, it's a windflower. It looks like a large pink daisy that blooms around October.
Okay.
And it's got almost looks like a large maple leaf that's pretty thick, about 5 inches long, and it is the smaller leaves are getting black and almost crispy. And I wondered, is that a type
are
of
they
spider?
Crispy or sticky and crispy?
No, actually just crispy. I can literally take my hand and it starts breaking
up. Just breaking up. And so they are dead and dried up.
Yes.
Is the plant otherwise doing okay? Is the upper leaves fine?
Yep.
All right. Lots of possibilities for that. There are a lot of fungi out there that get splashed up when it rains or when you irrigate on those lower leaves.
Okay.
And they're not really, you know, great pathogens, but they can do some damage. That's a possibility.
Okay. Anything that could happen? No, I do know some of the upper leaves. It seems to be the smaller leaves are the ones that are getting it.
All right.
And, in fact, I'm looking out, and some of them are at the top, and I don't know if it's affecting the bud because that wouldn't be forming until barely now, blooming in October.
Well, they could be. It depends on the plant.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed that a progression of symptoms? In other words, you start seeing something and then funky, and then they start going to this darkened and dried up type of thing.
Yep, it turns almost, it's like it goes from the green to like a tan to light brown to black. And it's a speckly kind of a black, and it's almost like it curls up.
Okay.
In fact, when I'm looking at them, some of them are green with the black on them like a speckle on it.
Like a speckle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a magnifying glass?
Yep.
Take a look.
Okay.
Now I'm guessing, and I haven't seen them, well, I've seen one possibility. One of them, which is the four-line plant bug.
Okay.
And it will start with little dots, and they get their name from stripes on the back of the bug. But the damage is in lines. Really kind of weird looking, just like somebody put a ruler on them.
Okay.
And they'll strip right down the leaves, and they insert a toxin, and that'll cause the leaves to roll up.
Okay.
There's a leaf hopper going on out there, and there's disease of all the chrysanthemum group. I'm not familiar with the windflower. I probably know it under another name.
It looks like the leaf, it looks like a huge maple leaf, and the leaf is kind of waxy. Now, when I look at this with a magnifier,
right,
it's hard to tell. I don't see anything moving.
Check on...
And I do see new buds that are going to be the flowers.
Right. Okay.
These put holes in the leaves, too.
Okay. The leaf hopper, again, is one of those bugs that inserts a toxin, although this carries a virus with it, too.
Okay.
And that'll roll them up. The other one, when you say black, the reason I was asking about sticky was things like aphids. They get a lot of soot, you know, you get on the exit, and then you get the sooty mold, but roll up and dry up.
And I don't see any aphids.
All right.
And I don't feel the, but it's like when I do the, it just.
They're crunchy.
Yep.
You would see.
And I don't see, wait a minute, now I see a little green bug.
Okay. You would look not on the branch, the leaves that are showing the symptoms, it's one up or one down.
Okay.
And I think it's a bug. One of those. Now, I could be wrong. The other one is thrips, which you probably won't see, but what you'll see is little black, shiny dots, and that's the fecal pellet.
Yep.
And then those, when those hit, they don't have piercing, sucking mouth parts. What they have is rasping mouth parts, so it looks like the cells collapsed.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, but I can't think of any fungi right off the top of my head that would be giving it a sample, that symptom at all.
Is there a spray?
Yeah, there could be. You know, if it's getting really bad, part of the problem, you know, you're looking at it, and sometimes the best thing to do is do nothing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And these grow, these are 4 feet tall right now. The stems grow up 4 feet.
Right.
And then the leaves are up on the end with the buds. And
okay.
It's the ones at the top that have this.
Okay. I think it's an attack. My guess would be either aphids or thrips.
Okay.
Now, here, let's try this. Instead of going with something heavy duty, let's go with insecticidal soap.
Okay.
Now, I'm talking, Laura, about the real, go down to the local garden center insecticidal soap, not the hand dishwashing stuff. And the reason I say that is there's a lot of research coming out of Kansas State that says that the hand dishwashing soap works real good, except in the situations where we've got 80-degree weather.
Okay.
And then you'll get a scorch.
Okay.
So try the insecticidal soap. And let's keep an eye on it. If you get a chance to do it this weekend, give me a call back on next Saturday, because if the damage stops, we know it's one of those guys.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep. Can I ask you a quick question?
Well, I can put you on hold if you don't mind, because we got to go to a break. But, however, before we do that, I've got lines open. 1-800-859-0957. And Steve in Washington, Larry in Hamtramck, Doris in Chesterfield, Philip in Marysville. I haven't forgotten you. Just haven't gotten to you yet. I will get to your answers to as soon as I possibly can. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
And before we go back to those lines, I'd like to thank two people who are critical to what goes on here. Of course, that's Shannon Maley, who is our engineer and producer today, and Crystal Price is the very pleasant voice on the phone. Thanks to you both. 1-800-859-0957. Go back to Laura in Northville, and Janet in Bloomfield Hills, you're up next. So, Laura, you had a second question.
Yes, about that kind of branch-like weed. Is it a privet that grows up underneath, like where you have a tree line? They've got those kind of oval-shaped leaves on them.
Kind of long, skinny?
Yep.
And sort of grayish looking?
Yep. They're actually like a lime green, and they remind me of a privet.
Okay. Barberry, maybe.
Okay.
There's a bunch.
Yep.
Yeah. Hard to get rid of.
Yeah. How do you get rid of them? Besides pulling them.
Well, it's tough, because if they're underneath the trees, it's going to be difficult. How big are they? You know,
they're probably about 5 inches tall.
Oh, oh, okay.
And they're growing along where we have a mulch area underneath some pines.
All right.
It looks like a lime green leaf. It reminds me of, like, if it kept going, it would be a privet.
Could be. It's in the same family, I think. Glyphosate, Roundup. However, it's the wrong time of year. What you'll do if you just, and underneath that, it's going to be difficult to spray. You'll have to be very careful about overspray.
Okay.
And what I would do instead, if it's not too much of a problem, is get a hand applicator. Check your local garden center and use that and just round it. But you have to wait until after, I would say, end of September.
When they don't have that coating on the leaves.
Well, not so much. Partially, but more importantly, that's when the chemicals translocated down into the roots.
Okay.
Now it just burns the top off, and they still have time to sprout back, so you've got to come back in and do it again.
Okay.
But that will work. You know, just be careful even then. It's very easy, and I've done it, to get a little on the tree, and then you start seeing symptoms on that, too.
Yeah.
So, okay?
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay.
1-800-859-0957. And thegardeningshow.com. Before we go to Janet in Bloomfield Hills, you're up next, Janet, but before we get there, Stephen Washington emailed me, and he's got maple trees, and he's tired of the little seeds germinating in his lawn and flower beds. The question is, can I prevent it? Yes, there is a chemical spray called Florel. And it's going to be really hard to do. You've got to spray the whole tree, and you've got to time it right. So in my I don't think it's worth it, Steve, to be very honest with you. The tree seeds in your lawn, you just mow them off. You know, you don't need to treat them at all. In the flower beds, a good raking of the mulch usually takes care of them, and it's not a bad thing to do every spring anyhow. It just gets rid of, fluffs it up and things like that. Or you can just use one of these hand applicators, a wiper, and use glyphosate, which is Roundup, and they'll do take care of it very easily. There is a chemical approach. I don't think it's worth it, to be honest with you. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Janet in Bloomfield Hills. Janet, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we moved into this new house about a year ago, and we have poison ivy in almost all of the beds.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and of course I have kids and a dog, so it makes it, you know, kind of a little challenge.
Understatement of the day, yes.
I've been pulling it out as best I can, but some of the primary branch, like that main root going down
into
the ground.
The root goes down to China and loops around, I think.
Holy smoke. And some of them are as big as my index finger around. So they're, you know, pretty old. Any way to kind of systemically get rid of these plants?
Yes, but it's going to take some time. Obviously, you're not allergic to poison ivy, or you're very good about wearing gloves. Or both.
And using rubbing alcohol to rinse off the oils.
All right, here's the thing. If you're dealing with that, are they usually they're very entwined around your shrubs and things that you'd like to deal with, keep. Is that true?
Yes.
All right, how big an area are we talking about?
You know, it's spotty. It's here and there. There's probably three or four plants in all of my beds, and I have a dozen beds easily.
Okay. I think this is going to be a period of time type of thing.
Okay.
The problem with the big plants, what we're going to use is either glyphosate, which is the active ingredient Roundup and all the other weed killers out there of that type, or there's a more powerful material, which is more expensive, called triclopyr, T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R. And here's the approach. None of these will work this time of year. You have to wait until the fall.
Okay.
And now you can go in and spray now on small ones or use a wipe or something on it. I've got some on my property and it's been working pretty well right now. I think it may sprout back. However, if you get a little shoot up, give it a shot and try to kill it off so it doesn't keep spreading. On the bigger vines, what you're going to do is three applications. You're going to start in the middle of September, middle of October, and if we get lucky and no snow and no heavy frost, you're going to do it again right at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Okay, and I would use it as long as they've got leaves on and they're not and go in and do it. Probably a paint or a hand applicator would be the most appropriate way to do that because the sprays, you know, it's hard to control where you're spraying and it's really easy to overspray.
Right.
Okay. And that you'll see significant reductions in the plants that sprout back next spring. I'll guarantee you it's still going to be there, but you'll see progress, and you just keep after it.
Now, can I do this in the spring again as well, or do I have to wait until the fall?
But it won't work as well. In the spring, the material is not being translocated into the roots. It's just going to the top, so you just burn it off. However, you'll have new shoots there, so if you're like me and you got a fair amount of territory to cover. I carry a bottle on my belt. Every time I see it, I squirt it.
Okay.
Now, glyphosate and glyphosate, triclopyr a little less, has a very high safety factor as far as humans and pets, but this is something that you have to make sure the kids and the dog and whatever stay out of. Well, they don't get poison ivy anyhow. But you don't want them to get into the material, too. Give them somehow work it out so you apply it when so they're not around until it dries.
Okay.
Okay.
No problem. I'll go to school in the morning and
right. That would work. And patience is going to be a virtue, and this is going to take, my guess is 2 to 3 years. But you will see significant progress every year. So, okay.
Beautiful. Will do. Thank you.
Hey, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Boy,
take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Boy, I am so allergic to poison ivy, it's not even fun to talk about it. So anyhow, let's go to Bob in Allen Park and, Scott in Royal Oak and then Bob in Allen Park. So Scott, welcome to the gardening show.
Hi, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I've got three pine trees. They're within about 5 or 6 feet of each other. They're about, maybe 15, 20 years old each.
Right.
And all of the new growth that popped out this year has now all turned brown, is dying, is just falling off. Also, on one of the trees, I've got dieback into the old growth from the previous couple of years. And I have no clue what it is. I can't find any bugs or any kind of mold or anything like that.
No boring, pitch coming out of any holes or anything up in that area.
Nothing. Okay. Where the pine cones all popped out, mm-hmm. they all kind of stopped growing midway, and they're held dry as bone.
Anybody use any herbicides in the area in the last year to even last year?
I used some Roundup on the other side of the driveway, sprayed really lightly to kill some weeds, and that was it.
Okay. Oh.
Now, I don't know if it's anything to do with, you know, the hard winter. But other than that, these trees were doing great, real good color, but now overall they're just kind of, they're not quite green.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Now, did you say they were next to your sidewalk or your driveway?
They're up on a berm about, maybe 5 or 6 feet from the sidewalk. There are a bunch of Mugo pines around them too, and those are fine. Nothing wrong with those.
It's just the pine themselves.
Yes.
Darn. All right. Do you use irrigation on that berm?
Never have.
All right.
Never have. The ground cover that's around them looks great. It's nice and dark green. No problems there.
Do me a favor. First of all, Scott, you really need to get a pro in to look at these or pull some samples in and contact MSU. And if you check my website, The Gardening Show, I am going to put that information up on how to contact the diagnostic lab, and they do take pictures.
Okay.
So I think this, you know, over the air, it's not quite the way I can do this, but here's some possibilities. We're going to a break. Can you hold with me? I apologize,
sure.
Scott, to get going, but according to my contacts, we're getting ready for a break. I got a couple of lines open, though. 1-800-859-0957. So Pat in Royal Oak, Bob in Allen Park, you're on my list. I will talk to you after a break. If you'd like to join the conversation, there's the phone number, 1-800-859-0957. Philip in Marysville, Doris in Chesterfield, and Larry in Hamtramck, haven't forgotten you either. So stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Scott, call back, please. 1-800-859-0957. I hit the wrong button. That's why Shannon is in here giving me the don't touch buttons. I apologize. Call back in. We'll give you top priority. So, Scott, call back. I want to continue our discussion about those pine trees. I got a couple ideas. While we're waiting for Scott, let's go to Bob in Allen Park. Bob, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Thank you, Dean, and I want to tell you your screeners, Dan and Crystal, is so polite.
Aren't they wonderful? It's
letting
one of those...
you know and so on. But anyway, I have a 4 foot wide by about 20 foot long along the fence line of my side drive. I've got these daylilies.
Sure.
And I cut back on them, and you know they have these thin leaves, and they really spread out, you know, over the cement and so on.
Oh, yeah.
So what I've been doing, I want to know if maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I just pull on them, and when they and just all the leaves go around and try to make them smaller, and sometimes I cut close down to the base, and I notice the base actually is getting larger, and I'm wondering if I should take an axe, you know, to cut the base of it down a little bit so that the leaves wouldn't come out.
What I would do, if you can, Bob, and this is an old clump, so it's not that easy, is dig them up.
Or dig them up.
Pop them out of the ground, and then take your axe and split them. And what you're doing is, of course, just dividing them and getting new plants.
Uh-huh. Or don't do it while they're in the ground, cutting them with
it. It's a lot. Yeah, it's you do them because you're going to throw away 3/4 of them.
Right.
Or give them away. Let's not throw away plant material. Let's give it away.
Right.
And just pass it around. And then you've got a new plant. It'll grow for a period of time and fill the space, and then you do it again. Daylilies are easy on that one. It's just on an old clump. You know, you got to put some, do some digging and some pressure, and if you got a bad back like I do, that's not as easy as it sounds sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really beautiful when they're blooming.
They are. But after they bloom, like in into August or something, they're real easy to divide. Or you can do it next spring.
Just wait maybe a little bit. Or
yeah, put up with it or do it next spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So or get somebody in there to do it. And people really like daylilies if you've got some neat colors. So it's a, you know, you'll be a very popular person in the neighborhood.
Okay, good. That's what I want to be.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you. Let's go back to Scott. Scott, I apologize to you again. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Again, never allow a host to touch a button. do me a favor. I think, and I'm really puzzled in this case because of the sudden onset of symptoms. In many cases, and especially where you've got the tips dying and all that, it almost sounds physical. You know, the only thing that I can think of is going to take a little work on your part to diagnose. Is this, can you get up on that berm and do some digging?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. What I want you to do is dig down around that. Wait till we're forecasting rain, so I probably wait until you get a good rain. And then dig down in there and see if there isn't a water problem. In other words, it's standing. It almost sounds
like sitting in a puddle?
Yeah, because the pine trees would be at a lower level than everything else on the berm. And it depends. Did you put the berm in or have somebody come in and do it?
It was done professionally, oh, God, about 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's unlikely. It's unlikely. But
on the same berm,
yeah,
about 20 feet away from these trees, there are a couple other pine trees. They're doing just fine.
I'm trying
they
to eliminate
great.
Possibilities. I'm thrashing around here. Do some digging. It will help the diagnostician when you contact MSU or have somebody come out and look at it.
Okay.
You need somebody to look at these. I'm getting stumped. I've got too many symptoms that I can't really pin down, and I apologize for that, Scott, but I think we can eliminate some possibilities here. Do some digging.
Okay, yeah, I just hate to lose them.
Well, I understand. So, yeah, that would really change the whole design, and you don't want that to happen. But something's the combination of symptoms which you show, I'm hearing, are physical, but it doesn't. That's unlikely with a 20-year-old tree. So something is just not clicking for me. So
okay. See
what you find, and if you wouldn't mind giving me a call back, I'd like to learn too. Okay.
Okay. Sure. I appreciate the help.
Okay. Good luck, sir.
Okay.
Speaking of things like that, Larry in Hamtramck emailed me about his arborvitae. Yeah, you can cut it down over a period of time. Check my website, thegardeningshow.com, and we'll put some information on that. Doris in Chesterfield, how do I kill Creeping Charlie? I wish I had an easy answer, but I'll put information on. It's going to take a while. Your key time is in mid-September to apply chemical control. In Phil in Marysville, cauliflower grows huge leaves, but no heads form in the last 2 years. First thing is, Phil, have you changed varieties? And the last thing I'm thinking about either is too much nitrogen fertilizer, because if you fertilize them real heavily or you've got them mulched and lots of great compost, they grow leaves. And here's a trick on how to tell. Go out and just snap one off. If it snaps and doesn't bend and just snaps, it's too much nitrogen. Okay, now, let's go to, and I'm going to run the list. All of you who are now on the line, stay put, because we're coming toward the end of that time of the show that I may not get to you on the air. So stay on the line. You're on my computer. I know you're there, so stay on even if we go off the air. So Pat, Ray, Kathy, Douglas, and Dave, even if we go on the air, I would like to talk to you. So let's go to Pat in Royal Oak. Pat, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on with your tomato plant?
Made a mistake when I planted this year. I reclaimed an old piece of agricultural soybean field and made a garden out of it after it had already been planted by the farmer.
Okay.
And didn't test the soil. Big mistake, I think. Nothing wants to mature. And I'd like to try to save my tomatoes, if nothing else. I bought them from a greenhouse. They're all indeterminate varieties, three different types of tomatoes. I'd like to put them in some different soil and I know my time and growing season is against me, but can you recommend anything at all that might help me?
Say they're not maturing. Do they otherwise look normal?
Yeah, they looked healthy enough for what they are, but they just didn't grow. The root balls didn't mature into the soil. They looked a lot like they did when they were put in the ground weeks ago.
Okay, so basically we're not probably talking about a chemical application here. We more likely is that they just didn't root out. See, the problem is that when they grow them in the greenhouse in that absolutely beautiful media, they just don't, there's so much oxygen and everything in that spot, they don't want to move out, especially if it's into a clay area, clay soil. So the thing is, if the root system hasn't moved out, what you need to do is get some of that media, get a big pot, fill it through the greenhouse media, and pop the plant out of the soil, wash off any soil that's on it, and drop it in. Now, here's what's going to happen, Pat. The buds are going to abort. You're going to lose fruit, but you still got a shot at it. The other way you could do it, is it a clay soil? You almost could do is, if it is do a little digging around the edges where that root ball is, and just score it. Take your thumb and break that up and see if those roots will move out rather than moving the whole plant. That would work better in a sandier soil. If it's a real heavy clay, that's not going to work. So the rule of thumb. The next time, if you buy them from the greenhouse or something and you're going into a heavier clay soil, basically what I would suggest is you wash the soil off and then plant it, or the media off, and then just plant it into the soil. You'll get some transplant shock, but I'll tell you, then after that, the roots will get established and you won't run into this problem again. Okay? But try digging them up and into a big pot, or on some of the other ones, try the... the trick with the back thumb down the side.
We'll do it.
Good luck. Now, Ray, Katie, Douglas, Mike, Dave, if you can stay on the line, I'll talk to you all. And I apologize for not getting to your calls, but I do want to talk to you, so stay on the line. However, the end of the gardening show is here. I don't know where the time went. However, check thegardeningshow.com. I'm going to have all kinds of information on that this time. And those of you in the Lansing area are thinking, check the information out about Gardening Days. It is going to be a fantastic program. We're going to have time information on Brown's Birch Borer, Creeping Charlie, Dry Shady Plants, Garden Day, Pruning Arborvitae, and Spotted Ring Drosophila. Have a fantastic week. I'll be back in a week.